with me in your scriptures to Matthew chapter 28. I want to say thank you to Joe Owens visiting with us today. Thank you for signing for us. We appreciate it very much. It was beautiful. Matthew 28, if the tomb could talk. Thank you. If the tomb could talk. My surgeon really did say to me yesterday before he discharged me, he was telling me how good the surgery went. He's very happy with it and very pleased and everything looks good. And then in the middle of that, all of a sudden, he looked at me and he said, "You're not doing service tomorrow, are you?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I'd like to." And before he could say no, I thought I better give him, you know, give something on my end. So I said, "Well, how about if I promise I'll only stand when I preach?" And he said, "Well, okay, if you'll limit your standing till only when you're preaching." And then he smiled and said, "And why don't you cut the sermon short, too, while you're at it?" So Dr. Richard Nord is now the favorite doctor in Youngstown of all of you, I know. Matthew 28, the first 8 verses. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, hallelujah, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." Hold your Bibles up real high. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I accept it as the supreme authority of my life. I read it daily to profit from its truth. I claim its promises in Jesus' name. 3 quick thoughts that I'd like to share with you today. And Stevie, also, if you could, Steve, if you could help us with the screen on the, go to the far right side there where you have to take the words off. I don't know if that. Yeah. There you go. Thank you. First of 3 thoughts. If the tomb could talk. If the tomb could talk. Our main focus is the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes the power of God real and available to us. We know that today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It's an historical fact. He was a historical figure. He lived and walked upon this earth. He was crucified. He was buried. And he rose again. It's not just a fairy tale or a mythological fable. It's the reality of the Son of God who came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. And if the tomb could talk, perhaps one of the first things it would say is, "You won't believe who's here." Because every human being, all of humanity, is separated from God because of sin. But God has provided a payment for our sin. God has provided the solution. He has paid the penalty. For 4,000 years, mankind had been groaning under the bondage of sin. For 4,000 years, the human race found no relief from the guilt and the shame of sin. For 4,000 years, humanity had stumbled blindly through the centuries, trying desperately to find something, anything, that could remove the pain of their fallen condition. Man-made gods could not do it. Rules and regulations couldn't do it. We know that's true. The pleasures of the world only intensified the inner longing to be free. But then one day, one glorious day, as John the Baptist stood baptizing east of the Jordan River, he looked up and he saw the one for whom all of creation had been longing. And John cried out, "Behold, he's here. There he is. He's the one, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Hallelujah. Amen. If the tomb could talk, it would undoubtedly cry out, "He is here. He is here. He is here. The reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes that same power of God real and available to us. So I don't want you today, part of my aim is to help us not just look at Easter as an historical fact and we say that was a great thing Jesus did 2,000 years ago. That's only the beginning of it. What I want to make sure we all grasp today is that we say, yes, look what he did 2,000 years ago. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you that you wear the victor's crown. But your resurrection also brings the reality and the availability of the power of God into each of our lives and into each of our situations. If the tomb could talk, he would say, look who's here. You won't believe who's here. More than just a good man, more than just a common teacher, more than just a pious priest, more than a prophet. He is Jesus, amen? He is the Son of God. He is Savior. He's Redeemer. He's our Deliverer. And he's our King who indeed wears the victor's crown. If the tomb could talk, it would remind us again that to the lonely heart this morning, he is still your comforter. To the afflicted, he is healer. To the sinner, he is Savior. To the bound, he is liberator. To the troubled, he is Prince of Peace. To the weary, he is power. To the failure, he is friend. To the dry, he is living water. And to the discouraged, he is the sweet, sweet rose of Sharon. He has been these. He is these. He will ever be these because the tomb is empty. Come and see the place where he lay. You won't believe who's here. It's Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, come to the world to redeem us from our sins. Let the church say amen. Amen. Another thing that the tomb might say is, you won't believe who is here, and you won't believe what he did. The testimony of our Savior in John chapter 10 was this. Jesus said, I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me. Did you catch that? No man takes it from me. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. No man like this man, Jesus. The tomb would say, you won't believe what he did. You see, nobody really killed Jesus. He gave his life as an offering. Oh, there were human beings that played a part in that unfolding drama, but it was all because he was willing to die. Herod's insidious inquisition did not cause our Lord to die. Pilate's cowardly treachery did not take his life. The high priest's fallacious jester's court did not defeat Jesus. Jewish leaders did not make him the sacrifice. Roman scourges did not drive him to Calvary. And Caesar's nails did not keep him on the cruel tree. This wonderful man, this Son of God, this friend of sinners, this man Jesus freely offered his life as the complete and only sacrifice for our sin. The resurrection of Jesus Christ makes the power of God real for you this morning and makes it available for you today. Isaiah's great 53rd chapter tells us he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The English Standard Version puts it this way. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. You won't believe what he did. The price that he paid for us. And that's simply because he loved us that much. If we ever feel like we've failed, if we ever feel like we've gone beyond the reach of God's grace, if we ever feel like we've worn out his mercy and that there's no way Jesus would forgive me again this time, there's no way he could still love me. I'm not sure I love me. How could God love me? If we ever are tempted to entertain such thoughts, we have only to gaze again upon the cruel tree and be reminded of the price that he paid for us, the blood that was applied to our sins and to our transgressions. And because of the price that he paid, we are to rest secure in the knowledge that he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. If we will turn from our sin, if we will confess our sin, if we will by faith receive him as Savior and Lord of our life, he will wash everything away and cleanse us from every stain, every guilt. He'll break every bondage because he wears the victor's crown. And if the tomb could talk, it would say, you won't believe what he did. I'm sure that's probably also the testimony of so many of us in the house today. If we took the time and set a microphone here, we would probably be here for an hour or two or more listening to these in God's house today saying, you won't believe what he did for me. I was lost, but he found me. I was bound by sin, but he set me free. I was on a course of destruction, but he saved me and rescued me. The doctors gave up hope, but he healed me. Oh, if we took the time, we would hear over and over again the same thing the tomb would say if it could talk. You won't believe what he did. If the tomb could talk, it would remind us of the terrible death and the glorious victory that transpired at Calvary. John 8:36 continues to cry out in wondrous victory. I think you know it. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. See what he did? He made us free. Not just free, but emphatically free. Free indeed. No need to doubt, no need to wonder, no need to be ill at ease about your condition and your standing before God. Receive him by faith. Invite him into your heart and your life and live for him as the wonderful Savior that he is, and you'll find the freedom that he makes us free with indeed. See what he did? His suffering for our salvation, his beating for our cleansing, his betrayal and rejection for our restoration, his agony for our victory, and his death for our eternity. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Now rest assured, there is a thief, a roaring lion, who goes about seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter tells us. The enemy, this roaring lion, would like nothing better than to finish off those who are so near to exhaustion and death. It's the thief who steals health and home and life and limb. So many times the question, a fair question, is asked, if there is a God, why do we have so much suffering and pain in the world? Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, God doesn't cause that evil. God doesn't cause that sin. The suffering and the evil that we see in the world around us is a result of sin. It's a result of the transgression humanity has made against God. But Jesus gives us someone who overcomes the power of the thief. It's the enemy who stalks after those who are beat down and weary, and he kicks them into a grave of Christless despair. It's the adversary who constantly tells people that they are worthless, they're nothing, and their lives have no value. It's the roaring lion who chases after the addict and the bound and the confused, the discouraged and the oppressed. But listen, gang, the roaring lion is not the only lion that the Bible pictures for us. For there is one who not only roars, but one who releases. There is a lion who does not steal, but who gives of his own very life. There is a lion who speaks peace where there is fear, hope where there is doubt, healing where there is shame. He is Yeshua HaMashiach. He is Jesus the Christ. He is the root and the offspring of David. The scripture says he's the bright and morning star. He is called in Revelation the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he has prevailed over the enemy, and victory is ours. Oh, gang, you won't believe what he did. Hallelujah. If the tomb could talk, it would say, you won't believe who's here. And if the tomb could talk, you would hear that tomb say, you won't believe what he did. And then there's a third thing the tomb might say to us. After all of that, the tomb might also say, you won't believe what happens next. The tomb there containing the body of Jesus might speak to us and say, look who's here. And then it might say, look what he did for us. And then the tomb might say, oh, but wait, you won't believe what happens next. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. You won't believe what happens next. 1 Corinthians 15:20, the Apostle Paul assures us with these words, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. The saints through the ages, Old Testament and New Testament alike, all of us who have put our faith in God, we will one day come up out of these graves. He's the down payment, we would say. First fruits is a Jewish connotation and a you know, first century way of explaining things. We'd probably say down payment. For now is Christ risen from the dead and become the down payment of them that slept. All of us who will one day sleep in these graves, that's not the end. One day those graves will open up, and the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, Scripture says, shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You won't believe what happens next. The resurrection authority of the empty grave. Let that sink in a little bit. The resurrection authority of the empty grave. The empty grave is proof that Jesus is who he said he was, and that he's ascended now to the right hand of the Father, and he's the first fruits or the down payment of the great resurrection that all of his followers will one day experience. The resurrection authority of the empty grave. There's authority in the reality that Jesus rose again. And that power, as I'm emphasizing on the screen, that power of God is real and available to us. That valley you're walking through right now, that trial that you're facing, the waves of fear and anxiety that you may be combating, you have authority from the reality that the grave of Jesus is empty and he is seated on high, and the authority of that power from God is real and available for every one of us in this house today. Because he was raised to life, we too shall be raised to life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ makes the power of God real and available to us. There is coming a day when we will leave this world and life here below will fade into the pages of history. Every one of us have a destiny and a date with the grave. Unless the rapture happens first, we're all going to end up in a cemetery somewhere or in a grave somewhere. There's coming a day, though, when we will say goodbye to the sicknesses and diseases that we have known. Diabetes, infirmities, Alzheimer's, heart disease, cancer, we bid you adieu. Fighting and struggle and pain and suffering, think of it, one day we shall never know those things again. Separation, discouragement, depression, anxiety, fear, and worry, to you we say farewell. Let each of us find comfort in the words of Sir Walter Raleigh, who said, but from this earth, this grave, this dust, my God shall raise me up, praise his name. For those who truly belong to Jesus, the word of God is clear. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we too shall rise. Amen. The grave is not the final chapter, and death is not the final answer. We do not die to live on some purgatorial state of limbo or flux. The decay of these jars of clay called our bodies puts no restraint on the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It matters not how we died, or when we died, or where we died. It is of no consequence whatsoever how long these bodies may exist in the ground or the sea. But one great truth of Scripture trumps all of those things. We shall rise. For you see, dear friend, to a new body, to a new mind, to a new name, and to a new home, we shall rise to greet those who've gone on before us. We shall rise. Parents and spouses and children and friends, we will meet them. We will see them again. We shall rise to the eternal presence of Jesus, to unending worship around God's throne, to the company of the redeemed. We shall rise to one last final parting with sin, one last goodbye to the flesh, to garments made white by the blood of the Lamb, to perfect peace, to limitless joy, to friendship divine. We shall rise. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let trials come. We shall rise. Let disappointments and calamities do their best. One day we shall rise. Let the godless and the wicked have their little day. The scripture says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But as for us, we shall rise. Let sickness run on for a little while. We shall rise. Let Satan do his best to defeat us. Jesus promised the gates of hell shall not prevail. We shall rise. Let death have its puny little day. We shall rise. Though demons shriek, though evil angels lurk, though the powers of darkness fight fiercely to the end, we shall, we shall, we shall, we shall, we shall rise. Oh gang, you won't believe what happens next. We get to see him in all of his glory. We get to see the one who is crowned victor. We get to spend the rest of forever with him. We get to live on in a place where there'll be no more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow, no more heartache, because we shall rise. Saints, you won't believe what happens next.